First Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45. The title of my message this morning is The Two Men.
What is it?
The Two Men. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam, a quickening spirit. Now, I left out the italics there, was made, because he's always, there's never been a time that he wasn't a quickening spirit. He wasn't made a quickening spirit. He is. He is God the Spirit. The first man, Adam, was made a living soul. He derived life from another. God created a human nature, a body of flesh, and he breathed into it the breath of life, and man became a living soul. We are a soul that has a body. And the soul is that eternal thing. The body must be changed. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. This body has got to be changed. It's got to put on immortality. It's created a mortal. It wasn't created mortal, but it is a mortal body, and it's got to put on immortality. It is corrupt. It's got to put on incorruption. It is a natural body, and it's going to be made to a spiritual body. Now, our length of time here on earth is extremely short, but our time in eternity is going to be infinite. We cannot comprehend what infinity is, but our life in eternity is going to be just that. It's going to be in infinity. Now, the first man, Adam, was of the earth, earthy. But the second man is the Lord from heaven, and we're either in one or two of those two men. God deals with all our race in one of these two men as a covenant head. Adam was the covenant head of the race of natural men, and Jesus Christ is the covenant head of those who are of the spiritual creation, created in Christ Jesus. He creates and we are created. And they are the spiritual seed of Abraham, Jews, in spirit. We are the circumcision who worship God in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. We know that all of our living unto God, if it be void of grace and void of the Spirit, is nothing. Amounts to nothing. Now look at Romans chapter 5, verse 17. But first, let's look at verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. We all sinned in Adam. Sin was imputed to us because of our relationship to Adam. So we're born into this world, sinners. Now, it's very important there that we died in Adam. We did not die because we received Adam's nature, though we did receive Adam's nature. There's an old adage that says that, well, there's an old saying among people, at least in our community, that, infants are as good as God would have them to be. Well, infants died in Adam like us adults. We all died in Adam. And whom God will, he redeems. He has redeemed at Calvary. Now we don't know who that is. We don't know who he has redeemed and who he has not redeemed. But we do know this. Our God will do right. He'll do what's right concerning every individual, and so we have hope in that. But at any rate, the important thing is that many people teach that we receive Adam's fallen nature, and then therefore in time we sin, and then we fall. That's not right. That is error. We fail in a person. It's important that we understand that we fail in a person, and in that person as a covenant head of all natural men. That teaching brings in the imputation of righteousness to us by God the Father through the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ, because it is in him that we receive grace and of the gift of righteousness. In Adam, we died. In Christ, all who are in him are justified from all things. Now, you cannot be partly justified. That's what Brother Bill said, kind of tickled me there this morning when he talked about being partly, what was it, Bill, partly saved? Or,
partial rapture.
Oh, partial rapture. Like the Lord's going to take some of his people and not all of them. Well, that's silly. We're all justified the same. Perfectly, all the children of God are perfectly justified in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're either in the Lord Jesus Christ or out of the Lord Jesus Christ.
True.
And you cannot be in him and out of him at the same time. You're either in him altogether or you're out of him altogether. If one old writer put it like this, if one hair's breadth width is between you and the Lord Jesus Christ, you're out of Christ. You're either in him or out of him. There is no partial justification. Just like there's no partial holiness. We are holy in the holiness of our Lord Jesus Christ. And our perfection is in the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't be partly perfect. Wouldn't you hate to drive a partly perfect car? The part that wasn't perfect would be mostly broke down. But anyway, we are perfectly righteous, perfectly holy, perfectly perfect in the eyes of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me say again, you can't be in him and out of him. You're either in him or you're out of him. How do you get in him? How comes it to be that anybody is in the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4 says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now, what do we have in Christ? Everything. All spiritual blessings. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, then there's nothing that you need that you don't have in the Lord Jesus. You are without fault before the throne of God. You are clothed in the garments of salvation and robed in the robe of righteousness. According... Who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Now that's how persons get into the Lord Jesus Christ, is by being chosen in him before the foundation of the world. That we should be holy and without blame before him, in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Now, punctuation marks and verses were not in the scripture when they're originally penned. And it is in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. So that to be in Christ is to be in him completely. Now that doesn't mean that we're not in ourselves sinners. We are. But our sins are not imputed to us. We are dead to the law by the body of Christ. Look back at Romans now. Chapter 5 again. Verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one. Now that's Adam. Death reigned over the race of mankind because of Adam's transgression. The whole race died in him. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they that receive abundance of grace. Well, when was by grace are you saved? Through faith, that not of yourself, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Well, when was grace given us? It was before the world was made. 2 Timothy 1:9. Let me turn to it here. 2 Timothy 1:9. And we'll read verses 8 through 10. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us called us with a holy calling. Now notice the order there. He saved us in a covenant of grace. And then he called us in time. Who hath saved us and called us, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Now, life and immortality was certainly in darkness. Nobody knew anything about it until the gospel was brought in, either under the Old Testament type shadow, promise, and prophecy, or under the clear light of the New Testament through the preaching of the gospel. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they that receive abundance of grace. Now, grace is a free gift, not something you earn. It's not something that you that you deserve. It's a free gift to God according to his own goodness and grace, which was given us in Christ before the world was. And of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ, who received abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness. Now we have been graced. Believers have been graced. God comes along and gives us his favor. As a matter of fact, we've had it from everlasting. We've been in the favor of God. And because of that favor, he gives us of the gift of righteousness. And that righteousness is all the perfections. That righteousness is all the perfections that is in Christ Jesus charged to our account.
Amen.
And because of that righteousness that is charged to our account, God sees no unrighteousness in us. I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, he said. Hebrews 8:10. And their sins and their iniquities I will remember no more. That is his being merciful to our unrighteousness, is that he remembers our sins and iniquities no more, because Christ paid that debt.
Yeah.
They can't legally be held against us anymore because Christ paid the debt that we owed to God's law and justice. So those who receive of the gift of righteousness. Now when God gives any person the gift of righteousness, that entitles you to some things. What it entitles you to is eternal life. He that doeth these things, that is righteousness. Christ did all those things as the head of as the head and representative of his people. And all that Christ did is imputed to us. And God sees us as doing that in Christ. And because of that, we are entitled to everlasting life. Now there's coming a time when we're going to stand before our God at the judgment. There is coming a judgment day. And we're either going to be perfectly righteous or perfectly unrighteous. And anyone who is perfectly unrighteous, he's going to say to them, "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you." So the only way that we can be in the favor of God in the judgment is to have been in his favor from everlasting. And there's one way you can find out whether or not that's true in this life. And that's by hearing the gospel and by finding out whether or not that gospel means anything at all to you.
Yeah.
If the gospel means nothing to us, it never comes to mean anything to us, if we do not honor it and value it, then we have no part in it. But if the gospel is our life, if through the gospel we understand that we know God through the gospel, whom to know is everlasting life, then do we place value upon it, we delight in it, we love to hear it preached, we want to read about it, and we want to know more about it all the time. And therefore we seek after it. Persons who don't care anything about the gospel, don't care whether they hear it, at least have not yet found out whether or not they have a part in it. Now, it may be that they have, only God hasn't revealed it to them yet. But God ordinarily, the ordinary means of grace. God is a God of means. He's a God of covenant. He's a God of means. And he works out his covenant promises through the means that he establishes. And the ordinary means, the way that God ordinarily gets his gospel, his truth to his people, is by the preaching of the gospel. Now those who honor his ordinary means most often are the ones whom he gives the gift of eternal life. Those who dishonor his ordinary means generally don't get in 100 miles of it. Now, there may be a Saul of Tarsus who go out to war against the Lord Jesus Christ, whom he brings in, and whom he gives, freely gives his grace, as he did Paul. Paul was on was on his road to Damascus to make war with the Lord Jesus Christ. He was going to go down there and stomp out the name of Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus, in grace and mercy, met him, and he said, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And Saul said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest." So in wonderful grace and abundant mercy, our Lord Jesus sometimes meet his persecutors in their road of persecution and brings them into the fold. But generally, it's those who honor his means of grace by attending the services and hearing the gospel preached. He said, "Neglect not the assembling of yourself together, as the manner of some is, and so much more as you see the day approaching." So God gives his grace to those who are made to seek his grace. And no man by nature will seek it, for there's none that seeketh after God. And if we do seek it, we know it's because of his abundant grace.
Yeah.
All right, let's get back to our First Corinthians. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul, and the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit that was not first which is spiritual. Well, in ourselves, we're first born into this earth, earthy. Then, by his grace, the elect are born again. They're given the new birth. But that which is natural, afterward that which is spiritual. Well, the spiritual man, the Lord Jesus, in history came after Adam. But he was a covenant head, and he had a people as much as Adam. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. And as is the earth, as is the earthy, such are they that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now we are predestinated, the elect of God are predestinated to be conformed to the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now isn't predestination a wonderful doctrine? As much as it's despised by natural man, isn't it a wonderful doctrine that we can look forward in knowing what we have in Christ, knowing that we're going to be just like him. We're going to be just like him. Now he is the delight of his Father. He pleased his Father. And we've always been in him. So we in Christ are the delight of the Father for Christ's sake. And in him, the Father is well pleased with us. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption put on incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. Now the saints of God go to sleep in the Lord Jesus Christ. The body goes to sleep. The soul goes to God who gave it. Be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord.
Amen.
For his people the Lord Jesus will meet them at the crossing. I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise incorruptible, and we shall be changed, or we which are alive and remain shall be changed. How are we going to be changed? Well, we're going to put on this mortal body. It's going to be changed into an immortal body. This corruptible flesh will be changed into incorruption, and we'll be changed inwardly and outwardly to the very image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. There used to be a show on TV called The Immortals, and they'd outlive all their neighbors and have to move on. But it's not going to be so with us. Everybody in our home is going to be immortal. Death will have no more power over us. So then, when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. I have a good friend that is in stage 4 cancer, liver cancer. And he had pancreatic cancer, and I was talking to him. He said, well, he said, the Lord's either pleased to take me or to leave me, and I'm good with it either way.
That's a good thought.
And so he wasn't dread leaving his family, his friends, and that. But he was not dreading death as an adversary. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now turn to 1 Thessalonians. I don't know how quickly these things are going to come to pass, but I know they're going to come to pass. I do know that. Things are not always going to be as they are. The children of Israel were in bondage 400 years. That's longer than we've been a nation here in the United States. And I suppose that they thought, they looked at Egypt, they look at the power of Egypt and Pharaoh and all his grandeur, and they thought, well, things are just going to go on as they are, but they didn't. The Lord sent a deliverer.
Yeah.
He sent Moses. And the Lord, by his almighty power, brought his people out from under their powerful adversary. He delivered them. He rescued them. He ransomed them. He destroyed Egypt for them.
Yeah.
And he's going to do the same for us.
Yes, he is.
He's going to do the same for us. Things are not going to always be as they are. There's a big change coming. I don't know all about it. I do not. I don't think any of us know all about it. We might have ideas and thoughts about it. But to know, I don't think the Lord has revealed it to us in such a way that we can know absolutely what's coming. But at any rate, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 13. But I would not that you should be ignorant, brethren. Now, ignorance is darkness. This whole world is filled with darkness. It's ignorance of God. But ignorance of God is not the only aspect of darkness. Darkness is rebellion against God. It's our hostility against God and our enmity against God. For the carnal mind is enmity against God, not subject to the law of God, neither can be. So it's a stubborn enmity against God. That's darkness and ignorance of God. We don't know God. Man by nature doesn't know God, doesn't want to know God. Matter of fact, he'd rather not know God. He makes war against the knowledge of God. But I would not, brethren, have you ignorant, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Now that'd be an awful, awful thing, wouldn't it? Knowing that that Christ Jesus is coming and not having any hope of meeting him in peace. That would be a horrible thought. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also that sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not go before or prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. There's going to be a moving in the earth. Probably it'll be invisible and undetectable, and all the earthquake monitors won't shake any, but there's going to be something happening in the ground. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. We've ever been with him in the counsel and covenant of God, in the mind of God. He's never had an incomplete church. He's always been the Lord over the same church. He's always been married to the same wife. His people.
Amen.
Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now turn back to Isaiah. I can never find Isaiah. Isaiah 26. I'm going to leave out the italics. I'm going to read this. Isaiah 26:19. Thy dead shall live. Well, who's dead? The Lord's dead. Thy dead shall live. My dead body shall they arise. The body of Christ. We're the body of Christ. The church. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in the dust. God is mindful of our dust. The Holy Spirit looks over, watches after our dust. He knows where it's at. If it's ashes, he knows where every molecule is. If it's at the bottom of the sea, he knows where it is. He lingers where our dust is. And it'll come forth.
Amen.
It'll come forth in the morning. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in the dust, for thy dew, the dew of life, moisture of life, as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out her dead. We're headed for something.
Yeah.
I know that sometimes it doesn't look like it. We don't perceive it. But this natural man doesn't know anything about the Spirit of God. It's for those who are alive in the Lord Jesus Christ, who believe God's Word. Abraham didn't believe in God, though he did believe in God. He knew there was a God. But Abraham believed God. He believed what God said. And it was accounted to him for righteousness. Verse 20, come, my people. They've forever been his people. Always been his people. Come, my people, enter thou in to thy chambers. They were prepared for us. And shut thy doors about thee, hide thyself as it were a little moment until the indignation be overpassed. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. Now, a lot of that is religious iniquity. In Matthew 7, he told those preachers, they said, Lord, we've cast out devils in your name. In your name we've done many wonderful works. He said, I'll say to them, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. I never knew you in the covenant of grace. I never knew you in covenant love. I never knew you in the promise. I never knew you. Though he knew them, he knew all about them. He knew who they were, what they did, who their mom and dad was, everything about them. But he didn't know him in covenant relationship.
Yeah.
The ultimate knowledge of this life, the thing we need to search after more than anything, is whether or not we have part in the covenant of grace. And the way we find that out is to find out what the gospel means to us. Can we believe? Do we believe the gospel?
Yeah.
Is it our life? Is it the most important thing there is to us? Does it come before everything? For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. And the earth shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain. Look at Matthew. Chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. And let's begin reading at verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory. My, what a sight for this world to behold when the Son of Man comes in his glory. And all the holy angels with him. Then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations. And he shall separate them one from another, as the shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on the left. Then shall the king say to them on the right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. prepared for you in particular. Prepared for you and not somebody else. Prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was anhungered and you gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer and say, Lord, when saw we thee anhungered and fed thee, or thirsty or gave thee drink? When saw we a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And then shall the king answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. His brethren. You know, all through the Bible, he owns us as his brethren. I'll sing praises in the great congregation. I'll praise thee to my brethren. Psalm 22, Hebrews 2. All through the Bible, he calls us as brethren. In Romans 8, therefore, we're not ashamed to be called our brethren, and so on. Then shall he say to them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye that ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was anhungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye took me, and ye gave me no drink. A stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee anhungered, or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? And then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not unto me. We're of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones.
Yeah.
And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. So we don't know when those things are coming, but we know they're coming. And you know, we're not, look back at 1 Thessalonians again. First Thessalonians 5. First Thessalonians 5, chapter, verse 1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Now, all those folks who are making predictions that it's going to be this day and this hour don't know what they're talking about. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all children of the light and children of the day. Ye are not of the night and of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we being of the day and of light and not in the darkness, we can look around and see the things that are happening to us and know that it's nearer than it was before. We can know that. We don't know how near. But we know that all the upheavals of the earth, he said it would be like a woman in travail, where the birth pains become more intense and more frequent until there's a birth.
Yeah.
And my, look at everything that's happening in our world.
That's exactly right. Yes.
All of the birth pangs of a new age are certainly more intense and more frequent than they have been in the past.
Yeah.
And it behooves us as the children of light to open our eyes as wide as we can and look at the things that's happening all around us and look forward to what we have. Not that we're guessing at anything.
No.
God's promise is not a guess.
Amen.
We have His word. He promised on His holiness. He said, I have promised by my holiness. Thy seed shall endure as the moon and as the sun forever.
Amen.
We have a good hope. An assured hope. An everlasting hope through grace in our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen.